Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are so delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. You know, we would love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And remember, you can always listen to our show on a podcast. Just go out to EWTN's Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio/podcast, or wherever you happen to listen to podcasts. We got stuck in the car the other night, yeah, and we put on one of Mother Angelica's podcasts, and it was fun. It was a car ride. We forgot something. We had to go back another 35 miles, go forward. But we were going to make the best of it. We were going to have fun while we were doing it. And so those podcasts are very helpful. Today, we are welcoming Rosemary McGuire-Berry to our show. Now, Rosemary is a Catholic author, she's a speaker, and she's also a pilgrimage planner with a background in journalism and a unique knowledge of hagiography.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Which is the study of the saints. Who knew? Married for 30 years, she is a mother, a mother-in-law, and soon to be a grandmother. Mm. She'll learn the best is yet to come. And when she's not leading pilgrimages to Ireland or Europe, she's at home in Colorado, enjoying her home filled with vintage Catholic books. And today she's here to speak with us about a new book. It's called Piety and Personality, The Temperaments of the Saints, and how each of our own unique personalities is part of God's plan to become the saints that he created us to be. And we were talking before the show, we think it was St. Augustine who said, know thyself, which is very important for your own personal journey, to know your weaknesses and your strengths and why you respond the way you do, and for your spouse. And so it's just, we just want to be the best version of ourselves all the time. And we need Jesus and the Holy Spirit to help us to be that, no matter what your temperament is.
It's all well said. Piety and personality, the temperaments of the saints, and really what you can learn from them in terms of their temperaments, your temperaments, adjustments that need to be made so that we can more fully love one another, bear with one another, understand one another. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome. Well, our guest today is Rosemary McGuire-Berry, and she is the author of a great book, Piety and Personality. Do you know thyself? You could go out to her website, rosemarymcguireberry.com. Well, we are excited to have you. We certainly enjoyed reading your book. And first, we want you to tell our family a little bit about yourself and your journey, and then we're going to get into this rich, lovely book.
Oh, thank you. It's so wonderful to be here and meet both of you. So I am a lifelong Catholic, God, by the grace of God. By the grace of God, I've been a daughter of Holy Mother of the Church since infancy. I was homeschooled. And as you mentioned in my little bio, I've been married now for 30 years. Wow. I've been blessed with two beautiful daughters. I have a son-in-law, and I'm soon to be having a grandbaby. Mm-hmm. So that's very exciting. So I tell stories of the saints. That's kind of who I am. I tell stories of the saints that I cull from the old Catholic books, the vintage books that I have a home filled with. And I tell those stories to others, mm-hmm, to share this example. We love to follow the example of Christ. That's our job as Christians, right, is to follow the example of Christ. But sometimes you're a mom of eight kids. How exactly would Christ have reacted in this situation? So then we can look at the lives of the saints. So I tell stories of the saints so that we may walk with them by prayer, by imitation, by pilgrimage. Also, we can draw closer to the heart of Christ. Mm-hmm. That's my mission.
Well, and the beautiful part about the saints is they were human.
Yes.
They came from families.
Yes.
Not all of them were like holy at birth, right?
Yes.
And so it helps us on our life journey to identify with them and say, okay, this is the saint that I can identify with the most. I need you to come up alongside of me and pray for me and aid me and guide me and know that saint to say, my weaknesses were your weaknesses, my strengths are your strengths, right? And so to help us, because it's not like you might have a family member or somebody in the church that has done and walked that great way.
Yes, exactly. And I feel it gives us hope. It's all about the encouragement and the uplift. So many times in this world, we get discouraged, we get despondent. It feels like the world is more discouraging now than it ever has been. And stories of the saints uplift us and show, wow, look at what happened with these other people. Look at what happened in their lives. When St. Teresa of Avila was assigned to go back to her monastery of the Incarnation and be the new superior, the nuns rioted. There was violence. And that gives me hope, you know? These were good Catholic women, but they were angry and they acted out.
Right.
And that just gives me hope that, okay, and then how did St. Teresa handle that? She handled it with calmness. She handled it with charity. Then I can take that and apply it to my life. So I just love the saints.
Yeah. Now tell our family about the book. Tell us about the four temperaments.
Yes.
Where they came from and why are they important information for us to know today?
Yes. So Hippocrates came up with these in the 4th century before Christ. And he thought that they were actually linked to bodily fluids. So that's why he gave them these funny names, choleric, sanguine, melancholic, phlegmatic. They seem strange to our ears, but they are based on the fact that he thought that they were connected to our bodily fluids. We now know that it's more about the mental, psychological state than whether you have more phlegm in your body. So each of the temperaments has its strengths and it has its weaknesses. And that's the key here, is that knowing yourself, like you said, helps us to lean into our strengths and overcome our weaknesses. But if
say,
you don't
say that again.
Leaning into our strengths and overcoming our weaknesses. If we don't know what our strengths are and we don't know what our weaknesses are, it's going to lead us into trouble, or we're going to wander through life and just not know. You know, I keep having to go to confession. I keep falling into the same sins. I don't know why. Well, if you can identify the weakness, use the strength, then you can make progress in the spiritual life.
Right.
So he came up with these four. So choleric is the dominant CEO type. They're decisive, they run things, they're good at it, they're good leaders. So these are their strengths. They're decisive, they know where they're going, they don't get distracted from the goal. This is our St. Paul, right?
Was it Teresa of Avila?
Teresa of Avila had both choleric and sanguine.
Yeah.
So she had that leadership part too. And then, but they have the weakness, right? The weakness is that they can be bossy and domineering and opinionated and not want to listen to anyone. So if you know that about your spouse, about your coworker, about your teenager, then you can understand where they're coming from. Okay, this is where they're coming from. Yeah. It doesn't mean it's an excuse for bad behavior. It just means this is where they're coming from, so now I can help them with that. So then the next one is the sanguine, which, as you mentioned, St. Teresa of Avila had the choleric and the sanguine. The sanguine is the fun-loving one, the pleasant people person, very much a people person. Yeah. Cholerics can sometimes bulldoze over, but sanguines love to be around people, and they want to make other people happy, uplift them, encourage them. These are their good points. But then they have the negative side, and that's being wishy-washy, being inconsistent, coming up with great ideas and then not following through. And a beautiful example of that would be St. Peter. So not only did St. Teresa have both of those temperaments, but we see St. Peter being, I'll die for you. Never mind, I don't know the man. You know, it's just that back and forth. And he had to learn to overcome that and become stable in his faith. And of course, that came when the Holy Spirit came upon him at Pentecost. So again, we can say if we're sanguine, that's what I need. I need more Holy Spirit time. I need more meditation to help me be more focused, because that's what sanguines need. The melancholics are the detail ones. They're all about perfection. They're sensitive, they're deep thinkers. So these are good qualities to be paying attention to detail and wanting to do things correctly, but they can get discouraged when perfection isn't reached, because this life is not perfect. So they can tend toward discouragement, depression. So those, they need to like look more to the sanguines and look more to how can I be more cheerful? How can I be more joyful? Because Christ tells us to rejoice always. and then the phlegmatics. The phlegmatics are the peace-loving ones. They're laid back. They're easygoing. They're not dancing on the tables. They're not running the committee. They're just there, and they're happy, and they're good. Yeah. So those are good qualities, but they have to watch out for laziness and an inclination to not stand up for the truth. Mm-hmm. So as you see, oh, and a saint for that, St. Thomas More was a beautiful example of a phlegmatic. So each one has strengths, each one has weaknesses, and the saints came from all four.
Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing about having the saints is to understand yourself, and not, sometimes in marriage, if you don't know who you are, then your spouse is just bringing out all of your weaknesses. Yes. Or you're pointing out to your spouse all of his weaknesses. And that's not fun living, and exactly. No sanguine choleric can live with that. And so it's that balance of we want to be the best version of ourselves. So there's this pursuit of holiness in on our journey, right? Yes. As the saints.
Yes, exactly. Using it in marriage, using it in parenting is just invaluable, invaluable. Because so many times you just wonder, why is that person doing that? I would never do that. Mm-hmm. Why is that person doing that? And a lot of times it's because of temperament. Mm-hmm. Yes, sometimes it's because of nurture. You know, their mother did that, their father did that. But a lot of times it's because of our temperament. Mm-hmm. And then we can be more understanding and we can be more charitable, which of course is the idea.
Right. And the beautiful thing, like we shared this book, we were in the car with our older grandchildren. On Saturday, we were going to
a
game.
What were their ages? They're not
that old. Well, one is going to be 19 on Friday, and the other one was 14. So, and they come from a very large family. So this was a really fascinating subject for them.
Yes.
And they were trying to figure out, first of all, what am I, Nona? What am I? What's Babo? You know, we were trying to have that conversation. But then they were trying to, like, analyze their other brothers and sisters, which was really helpful for them.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. Again, to overcome the sibling rivalry, to be like, okay, it's all right. He would rather sit over there and read a book because he's phlegmatic. We don't have to try to talk him into coming out to play football. He just wants some quiet alone time, you know, versus the choleric that's got to be going, going, mm-hmm. going, male or female. Mm-hmm. So it is. It helps with the understanding, and it helps with being kind. Mm-hmm. Being kind. There's not enough kindness in the world where we just say, you know what, this person is different from me, mm-hmm. and that's okay.
Yeah. Right.
They're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. God gave them a different set of strengths than I have.
Yeah. I was, you know, as we were seeing what was happening with our grandchildren, their interest in this, I think they went right online and took a test,
yes.
you know, regarding those four temperaments and categories, and just their fascination, again, as Joy was saying, with the other six siblings and with the parents.
Yes.
And it really seemed like they were kind of, you know, saying, well, this is where it looks like they are and so on. And they were really understanding. I think this is very important. When we were doing a lot of marriage counseling, we would take a marital expectation inventory. Now, yes. didn't deal that much with the temperaments, but there were just some key questions that you really want to ask, you know, about your relationship with in-laws. What do you expect? What do you expect in terms of vacation time? What does that look like? How many children do you want? It would be amazing. Somebody said, I want one. And the other one said, well, it's seven. You know, I'd love to have seven. And it's the same thing with the temperaments. You know, yes. we really need to be doing this to people before they get married or even, you know, early on in the marriage, the temperament tests. I think of another book by Trenton Smalley called The Blessing, how to bless your children, the components of blessing. It's really make time to do these things because it's going to save a lot of headaches and a lot of misunderstanding and a lot of, well, you know, you're not doing it the way I'm doing it, so it's wrong. Maybe some things within the temperament that aren't helpful and are weaknesses, but the overall kind of temperament, you know, is not in and of itself wrong, but you're kind of looking at it that way. How could you be so laissez-faire? We're so laid back about this thing and this issue. Let's get on with it, you know?
Yes. And I'm sure in marriage counseling, you probably talked about what helped you to fall in love with this person in the first place. Mm. Well, a lot of times it was those traits of that temperament. So someone falls in love with a sanguine because they're so happy-go-lucky and laugh and
it's
tell funny stories.
It's because of the strengths, not the weaknesses.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly they're like, why are you so ditzy and why are you talking all
mm-hmm.
the time?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because I'm sanguine and that's what happens,
yeah.
you
right.
know?
Yeah.
So it
that's
helps
good.
Them to remember and look at what are the strengths. In the book, you can look at what are the strengths of my spouse,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Okay, my spouse is this. Let me see what their strengths are. Sure enough, my spouse is really good at that.
Mm-hmm.
Or my teenager's really good at that. Or my toddler is really good at that.
Right.
My toddler's good at picking up their toys because they're choleric
mm-hmm.
and they want things done and they
right.
want it taken care of. And
yeah.
so you can
yeah.
lean into that.
And especially in a workplace so that as a boss, as we are, you know, understanding your staff and your volunteers and who's coming in and what the, how they're presenting, because sometimes I could want everybody to, we're going to run it like this. This is going to be a ship and this is how we go. And people have different gifts. And it's the beauty to recognize the gifts and the talents and who they come with and then how they can effectively serve in a ministry or effectively serve in a workplace, because we need accountants, we need those detailed people, and we need all those people to take care of all those things.
Yes.
And doesn't necessarily mean it's me, and that's okay.
Yes.
Right?
I always try to stress that it's not about pigeonholing. Mm-hmm. If you're a melancholic, it doesn't mean you have to be the accountant, but maybe you'd be best at that. So just offering those options to whoever it is and saying, would you rather be in charge of the committee or would you rather be a worker bee? And a lot of times, if it's a choleric, they want to be in charge, and if it's a phlegmatic, they want to be a worker bee. Mm-hmm. And then also, it's not about pigeonholing, but it's also not about excusing bad behavior. So it doesn't work to say, I'm choleric, I lost my temper again, oh well. Mm-hmm. No. It doesn't work that way. I'm sanguine, I forgot again. Yeah. No, that's not, no, it's just now we know where the work lies. Now mm-hmm. we know where the weakness is that we have to work on, and that's okay. Just pick yourself up again, like St. Francis de Sales says, and try again.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I did notice, because when I was first looking at the book and seeing it, I was always asking the question, I didn't read it all the way through, but I was saying, what does this mean for me? What am I going to learn? I'm getting the saints and what they're going through. And it was interesting, I think you mentioned St. Francis de Sales. And also in that chapter, I think you speak about Catherine of Siena. And one of the things I got out of it was that they could actually use their temperaments, like I think it was De Sales with his will, very strong will, and to move into some of the areas that weren't that natural to him.
Yes.
And so he applied the key temperament, but he took that out and said, now I want to apply this to maybe it was kindness or more gentleness and so on. He was known as these things, but they weren't naturally part of his temperament.
Yes.
But people saw him that way, and he was saying, no, I had to will that, because willing stuff is my thing, And I thought, wow, that's good. Use your temperament and the strong points to get into other areas that aren't natural to you. And it was the same thing with, willing and also using it as a springboard to other places and areas. Can you speak about that?
Yes. So you're absolutely right about St. Francis de Sales. Pope Pius XI wrote a beautiful encyclical on him. And he said, if you think that he was a gentle, peaceful saint, that's not true. He actually started out with a very strong will, very opinionated, and melancholics can be nitpicky. So he was choleric dominant and melancholic nitpicky detail oriented. And yet that's not what we see in him at all. We see gentleness, we see kindness in all his writings. I always think of the letter that he wrote that said, Madam, you're pregnant. Of course you're irritable. Mm-hmm. He was just so understanding.
Yeah, right.
It's okay. It's all right. Just pick yourself up again and try again. So yes, the idea of knowing ourselves so that we can become saints. That's really what this is about. Knowing yourself so you can become a saint, but also finding saints to identify with.
Okay. We're going to take a break at this point and hold you over for the final segment. The book is Piety and Personality, The Temperaments of the Saints, EW10RC.com. It'll be a great blessing to you, to your relationships, to your children, and to your family. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we are finishing up our conversation with Rosemary about our beautiful book, Piety and Personalities, and learning all about ourselves. So tell our family why you wrote the book, and then what do you really hope it's going to do for souls?
Well, everything we do in life is to grow in sanctity. Everything we do is to grow closer to the heart of Christ. So whether I'm writing, whether I'm speaking, whether I'm leading pilgrimages, it's all to bring people closer to the heart of Christ and to bring myself with, right? As St. Paul says, we don't want to be left behind while we're helping to save everybody else, right? So bringing ourselves to a life of prayer, a life of holiness. So in the book, I try to make it story-driven. It's all little stories, it's little anecdotes, like the one about St. Teresa in the convent. Little stories to show us, make it come to life, show us what the saints did so that we can imitate them. There are little tip boxes throughout the book that kind of pull out a pointer. Mm-hmm. So here's this story, what's our takeaway? Here's the little box, and the little box gives us a takeaway.
Yes, excellent.
Someone said I should make those takeaways into bookmarks. I don't know, maybe down the road sometime. But those are the little things that we can take and then put into our own lives daily, today. What can we do? What can we do to become more saint-like? What can we do to become more Christ-like? Mm-hmm. So I hope that the book is an inspiration, an uplift, an encouragement. When you read and you see that some saint lost their temper, or some saint made this or that mistake, or some saint kind of mouthed off a little bit, it can give you hope. Mm-hmm. It can give us all encouragement so that we can say, you know what? They had a temper too. Mm-hmm. They had to struggle with laziness too. They had to struggle with fear of conflict, and yet they had to stand up. Thomas More had to stand up to Henry VIII. Mm-hmm. Talk about someone who's afraid of conflict.
Right.
And he has to take this huge, huge role. And he did it because he had the grace of God and because he had the Holy Spirit within him. And that's what we're going for, is to grow in holiness, grow closer to the heart of Christ.
Did he have that multiple temperaments, the two of them? Or did he just have that as the main one and learn that, gave himself through that contemplation, sensitivity to say, I got to use this to get to this place now?
Yes, so he was primarily phlegmatic, which is very peaceful. Mm-hmm. And so that's why if you're familiar with the movie, The Man for All Seasons, right, you see him and he says, I'm not going to fight. I'm just going to resign.
Yeah, that's great.
But he stood strong.
He did. Mm-hmm.
He didn't give in, but he didn't go up and argue with the king. Mm-hmm. He just said, nope, I'm resigning. And the king knew exactly what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So he was quietly strong, which is a very phlegmatic, virtuous trait.
Yeah, beautiful. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Thanks for being with us today. And thank God we have you for tomorrow. There's so much more to learn and benefit from in your writings. Piety and Personality, The Temperaments of the Saints, EWTNRC.com. Join us again tomorrow as we delve more deeply into this. It'll be of great benefit to you personally, to your marriage, to your children, and even the children will be very interested. They are. We've seen this with our grandchildren. They're very interested in seeing themselves in these ways, relating to others, and hoping others will take the test and relating to one another in a new way. You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.